I'm back in camp now after my walk around the northeast of the Ban, and it's towards late afternoon. I've made myself a nice cup of tea and just sitting and enjoying that and a rusk. After that, I'd have to start preparing for the night. The lion tracks I saw yesterday and the cursory introduction I got from the male, I think it was a male lion last night, means that I have to be a little bit more careful. I have to make sure that my little fish line alarm that's suspended around the camp about 15 meters out is operating properly. And where I usually sling my hammock at ground level between two trees or between the vehicle and a tree, I have now moved it over the load bin, over the length of the load bin. I fasten it to the crash bar at the back of the cab, and then on the other, at the other end, to a tree. And then I sleep along the length of the load bin, which gives me a little bit of height, and maybe, hopefully, the whole contraption together with the vehicle is a bit more intimidating to a lion or any other predator. I think today was a wonderful day. I came across an area where there were about three huge social weaver nests in the trees. One had become so big and heavy that it had actually broken the tree. These social weavers, of course, I'm sure my listeners know well, they build these huge nests. They're constructed of grass and sticks and so on, thin sticks, and the material is very closely packed together so that it is, I think, watertight and huge, the size of a small car, at least the size of a fridge. And they have entrances into it, mostly on the bottom, few on the sides too, but mostly at the bottom, just the right size for them to get in. And then, of course, with hollows inside, and they can shelter there and breed there, and it's really keeps them warm and safe. Their main predator are mongooses and snakes, and for both, it's extremely difficult to get into these little entrances, which are pointing down. So quite an ingenious solution that the weavers have found to their to protect themselves. I also found some other nests. They are, also seem to have been made by weavers, but they're not like the neat, beautiful nests that I know from the Highveld area where my farm is. They're quite untidy. In fact, I'm not even sure that they were made by birds. They may have been made by mice, also with a small entrance, and they're sitting in low shrubs, maybe a meter or so off the ground, and they look like someone whose hair is a little bit tousled if you look at them from the outside. And then they've got this little entrance, and it might be that it's made by mice. I don't know that kind of mouse. So that was also quite interesting. I must say that I find it endlessly rewarding to walk around in the wilderness like this, being here and sensing the bush, the smell, the ambience on the skin, the sounds, the few times one sees something special. Very little really happens, usually. Sometimes it's quite dramatic, but that happens very seldom. Mostly, it's nothing really very dramatic, but at the same time, so much is going on that I'm only partly aware of, and that makes it even more fascinating and intriguing to me. I find it just endlessly fascinating. I'm thinking now that I should perhaps drop in a recording that I'd made during my walk earlier through the day. It might get a bit long and boring to you. Maybe you will enjoy it. the ground where I am now is slightly higher, and the sand seems to be a bit firmer. And there are lots of ant nests here, not the ant hills, just the hole in the ground. They're quite interesting to me, these nests, because the hole in the ground is probably about 20 or so millimeters in diameter, and then about in a circle some 30 or maybe 50 millimeters from the edge of the hole there's the dump area, a neatly made dump area, the perfect circle, about 30 millimeters wide, I would say. And some ants are busily carrying material out of the nest and dumping it on the dump site, almost with craftsman-like precision. But what is even more interesting is if I look down the hole, this is now the hole that's about 20 to 25 millimeters in diameter. They're not all the same size, but they're almost perfectly circular themselves, the hole in the ground. But if I look down the hole, some 10 millimeters down, there's a cone, like the cone of a volcano, with a little hole in its center, and the cone slopes away into the deeper into the soil, and the hole at the top of the cone is maybe 5 millimeters big. So I'm not sure what the reason for this is. They all the same. They have the bigger hole of about 30 millimeters. And then if you peer down into them, 5 millimeters or so lower down, maybe some a little bit deeper, there is a cone with a hole in the center. I think it might have to do with preventing water from running into the big hole and then flooding the nest, so that the main entrance to the nest is down the little hole, which is at the center of the volcano top. Very interesting. Of course, the ants are as busy as one would expect them, running backwards and forwards, some bringing food back into the nest, others carrying out material and so on. Oh, and here are some felt fruit. It's called a tsamma in this part of the world. It's a fruit that that grows on a vine on the ground. It's lying on the ground. It's like a small watermelon. It's somewhat bigger than a cricket ball, maybe twice the size of a cricket ball. Some are a little bit bigger, others are a little bit smaller. They're green at the moment, but they're very, very heavily utilized by animals in this part of the world to get moisture. And I don't think it has much nutrition, although the pits might have, because if I cut it open with my heavy knife, then the inside is green, and with the pits like a watermelon or a spong speck. Yeah, interesting. There are quite a few of them around here, and not yet used by animals, which is maybe unusual. They might not have been discovered yet. If I look towards the pan now, to the southwest, I can see a herd of springbok, they're taking a very keen interest in a black-back jackal. I saw some black-back jackal dung just now on the path here. So they're watching this black-back jackal very closely. They would be a bit hard for a jackal to catch, although their young would be vulnerable, of course, or when they are busy having the young, they're very vulnerable to jackal. But jackal can sometimes gang up, and they can actually take the young of quite a large animal, especially when that animal, that female, is giving birth. And I have known that on my farm too, that they gang up and they kill a calf while the mother is having it, or just shortly afterwards when she's quite exhausted. And if she's alone and there are three or four of them, they actually eventually wear her out and overpower her. So these springbok are watching this jackal very closely, and of course these springbok are also prime prey for the leopard whose tracks I found earlier. Leopards would prey on the springbok, also on the younger, larger animals like hartebeest and gemsbok, and even eland. If it's a big male like the one I saw the tracks of, and they would also take smaller animals like these ground squirrels, which are all over the place. Their burrows are like a labyrinth of tunnels, and you constantly sink into them, and it makes walking quite exhausting in some areas.